Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is.
Nevermore.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast, NXT flavored edition. I'm Elf Fakador Laurie Blake and I'm joined by Adam Blompier.
Hooray!
Hi, Andy. Hooray! The lover of Pat McAfee is here. Pat McAfee's biggest fan. You watched all of his NFL matches this week in preparation for talking about him in this show. You said if he doesn't win at TakeOver, you will, in honor of him, cut off your kicking leg, your right leg, and use it to beat Adam Cole to death, is what I'm pretty sure you said.
If he can't kick Adam Cole, then no one should be able to kick anything. That's just how I feel. I love Pat McAfee. I've got his face tattooed on my dick, and I just can't wait to watch him wrestle. Apparently, he's been training for months for this match. Whole months. Can't wait. Oof. It's going to be brilliant. I'm actually... okay, we'll talk about it in the show, but I'm actually got some opinions on Pat McAfee.
So that's not even the main talking point that we're going to be discussing. We're actually going to start off the show talking about the very scary botch and the scary bump that Johnny Gargano took in the opening match of the show. Here it is. So the show opens with Johnny Gargano coming out, accompanied by Candice LeRae. The North American title is hanging above the ring. There's a bunch of ladders out there. And then here comes Ridge Holland to can a Nuki Brown in one hand, a loose chip butty in the left-hand pocket of his jacket, the other one seeping gravy that he's dipping it into. I'm not sure whether he thinks he's like a Victorian police officer or a Peaky Blinder. He's just he's a grab bag of English tropes. I'd like him.
Baker Street Irregular. He's great.
This was what you would expect from a Johnny Gargano match. He was pretty damn decent. Johnny starts off the whole thing saying, like, welcome to the big leagues, Ridge. And Ridge then chucks him around the ring for
Happy
a good
10 birthday,
minutes.
Adam. Happy birthday. Looking for some more birthday wishes because it is my birthday on Monday. Don't know if you know that, Laurie. It is my birthday on Monday.
I do. And I will wish you happy birthday on Monday.
Where's the rest of them? Come on, guys. Get your comments in. Wishing me a happy birthday on Monday. Come on. Let's there you go. Let's change the channel motto to happy birthday, Adam. Come on. Let's do this.
We tried it with Pete.
You're watching Luke. This is your fault. Happy birthday. Delightful. Oh, another one. Happy birthday. It's my birthday on Monday. Happy birthday on Monday, Adam. Hashtag FTF. Oh, no. Happy birthday.
Should be showing people that.
I'm sorry.
Hashtag FTF.
There's 500 people here. Let's get them all wishing me a happy birthday. Oh, it's popping off in the comments right now. It's birthday Al Hour. Loving it. Happy birthday, Pete. Because it is, of course, Pete's birthday as well.
Every single day it's Pete's birthday, except yesterday.
Oh, this is nice. Happy birthday, Laurie.
Oh, thank you. I'll save that for January when it's relevant.
Sorry. I'm overstimulated to be live. This is Luke.
We're sitting here. We're sitting here talking about, before we came live, we're like, we've got an hour to get through all of this because we've got another live stream that we're doing directly after this, in fact. So if you are hanging around, we'll be going through our NXT predictions.
Time. Stop wasting time, everyone. Stop
happy
wasting
birthday,
time.
Vince.
Oh, happy birthday, Scrooge. Happy birthday to all except Luke. And happy birthday, FTF. All right.
Sorry,
Laurie. I'm sorry. We've got a lot to get through. Ooh, pat. All right, ready to go. Let's do this.
Go on. You take it over from here. Where were we?
So Johnny Gargano came out with Ridge Holland, who apparently, according to Mauro Ranallo, has muscles where I didn't even know muscles could be. Just like, that's okay. He's just a muscly guy.
Mauro has not been paying attention for much of his career, commentating on sports that are almost exclusively about muscly men.
He drops him on his head.
He drops him on his head.
It's so weird because, like, obviously, the way they edited it was, the broadcast, it happens in the ad break. Like, you actually see it happen, like, in the ad break, and then it comes back from the ads, and they're, like, in the fallout. And the reason why they did that is because they actually stopped the match. Triple H, Shawn Michaels apparently came out to see if Johnny Gargano was okay, so they completely stopped everything. When it was discovered that he could then continue, they started the match up, which is why it kind of cuts back, and there's, like, a little bit of a janky cut after the ad break. But Jesus Christ, I thought, like, genuinely, that could have been a career ending spot.
Yeah, that was some sit. Like, it was a botched power slam, and as Ridge brings Johnny over, Johnny basically came down directly on top of his head, and it looked like his whole neck compressed in the process. The referee did a brilliant job and was right on it. Shooed Ridge off, and I think they did very well to cover this, actually, in the cut. Like, it was a little janky, but they did very well. And I think Candice did a great job on the outside of being like, I'm just checking on Johnny and making sure he's okay after the spot. And then I think that the way they sort of kicked back into the match worked really well. You know, Johnny was in the corner sort of holding his neck, and Candice was checking on him, and the referee was pushing Ridge off, who kept trying to sort of restart the match. And Johnny was like, no, I'm okay. And then super kick straight out of the corner. The consummate professional Johnny Gargano was just like, nope, I'm not doing a wrestling match, so you can't make me not wrestle. I'm not called Johnny Not Wrestle. I'm Johnny Wrestling. And then so it was over pretty quickly after that, as you probably imagine. They did a couple of, like, pretty scary looking bits, though, for considering what had just happened. There's a whole bit where Johnny goes for a one final beat DDT. And then he sort of ends up going for the lawn dart spear through the ropes as well. And Ridge catches him and then spins him round by the neck. Yeah. Chucking him on the floor, hits another power slam, almost gets the three. Obviously,
maybe they don't tempt fate, boys. Like, Johnny's still alive, but maybe I mean, leave the neck spots out of it for a bit.
it added to the drama of the match. Johnny then gets pounced out of the air, which I think that's the bit for me that was like, this is the most unsafe thing you've done, because there's just no. I feel like it's too random. Like, you're just playing RNG. You're just praying to RNGesus when you get pounced out of the air to be like, well, am I going to flip over? Am I going to land funny? Like, how far will I fly when he hits me? Like, it's so much less controlled than anything else seemingly in the ring. He gets pounced outside. Ridge comes outside for Johnny. Candice says she's checking on her husband, distracts Ridge for a second. Johnny ends up getting a tilt-a-whirl slam to the apron. But then as Johnny's rolled back into the ring, Candice grabs the leg, giving Johnny a chance to hit one final beat and win the match and blag his place into the North American title ladder match for TakeOver XXX, whatever you do. Do not Google it. It was like a really hairy moment, I think, for Johnny Gargano here. And I think just another sign that, like, I think he really is one of the greatest performers that WWE has had through the doors in the last 5 years, because he managed to still pull off a really smart, cleverly booked match. They came out of that, that what would have normally, I think they could have easily waved off the match at that point, and no one would have been like, oh no, I feel really gypped by that, because, you know, just watching it, you were just like, okay, well, that really does seem like something that I would rather have medical attention maybe than be like, let's continue the match. But they still managed to pull out something really, really good in the process here. And Gargano looked, it furthered the Gargano storyline. I think Candice did a brilliant job as well on the outside of playing into it and covering for...
I imagine most of those emotions were real.
Yes, yeah, yeah. No, but I mean, I think, like, you know, obviously playing to her real emotions, but yeah, brilliant work in the process. And yeah, it was the right choice as well for the ladder match. I think Johnny Gargano adds some real star power to that match, especially with some of the decisions they made later in the show. And, you know, I think he now gives that some weight, that ladder match, which I think so far has been kind of, it's been billed as a showcase for younger, newer talent. So yeah, I just props to those guys, I think. Long story short is I think they just did a brilliant job.
Genuinely, like Gargano almost turned face.
Yeah.
It was such a good recovery from such a scary moment. Like, you know, just the catharsis of Johnny Gargano being able to pull out a kind of a beautiful little bit of healing after, you know, what could have been like a few more degrees could have like compressed his spine in a horrible way. Or, you know, and like it was a very, very scary moment, but thankfully, like, Johnny Gargano is such a pro that you just realize, oh yeah, okay, you're right. He is one of the best in the world. Whew. And you could just like release that tension. Kind of wish he wasn't going into a ladder match now. But I mean, he has had like, you know, a week and a half.
Oh yeah, he's had a whole week after that.
Yeah, it's easy.
You know, that
like, that has been, yeah,
life threatening bonce drop. I am very excited. I think the right choice was made. Johnny's the best choice to go in that match. I'm hoping he's okay by the time TakeOver rolls around this weekend.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
All So just before we go, we've got to do some Patreon shout outs to our lovely pledge hammers on Patreon. So thank you very much for your support on Patreon. The hitchhiker, Mika Nam.
Thank you, legend.
Thank you to Mansoor, is my favorite wrestler ever.
That's okay.
It's a good choice.
Yeah, why not?
Vita Ventura, the pet detective. Thank you for your support on Patreon. Pardon?
I said, all righty then. But that's the... No, wait. All righty then. Is that the mask now, or is that...
No, that's, that that's Ace Ventura.
I nailed it. I'm such a good broadcaster.
Smashed it. The fitness concierge, Scott Michelle.
Yay. Like Simon Dean, but better.
Just incredible. Edelheart, thank you for your support on Patreon.
Thank you,
Moving God. Sideways, Kieran Crabtree. Who Pete named these, I think. We're going on a Brian Huntley. Thank you for your support on Patreon.
Is that a reference to we're going on a bear hunt?
It is, yeah. And I think that's probably the most clever out of a lot of them. This one, I think, was picked by the person themselves because it's you'll never get this name right, you idiots. Matthew Smidjewski. Smidjewski?
Simiuski.
Thank you for Woo! The Harbinger, Doom Lion. That, yes, that's a good name.
That sounds like D&D Pete talking.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Patreon number 1000, Mike Perry. Woo! Thank you. And the last two, the Lunatic, John Moxley's Fringe. Thank you for your support on Patreon. And finally, Infinite Crisis, Chris Jenkins. Thank you for your support on Patreon too. We're going to go through some super chats now just quickly and then we'll go through the rest of the show. But I just want to flag up that if you are watching this, Adam and I will be heading over to WrestleTalk Clips directly after this stream to give our predictions for TakeOver 30. We sadly aren't, basically no one's around to do a live stream on Saturday, and we're not going to be able to do a full podcast review on Sunday either because we'll be doing SummerSlam and staying up all night for that too. So this is the NXT live stream that you're going to get. So please do join us over there for that. It'll be fun because Adam's going to try and explain why he thinks Pat McAfee is going to win the match with Adam Cole.
He is.
And I will tell him he's wrong many, many times. Let's go through a couple of super chats, though, before we crack on. So Jobba JJ comes in saying, I'm sure the matches on TakeOver will be good, but for me, the storylines have been lackluster. I'm not invested in any matches. NXT booked into a corner with Lee and Cross. Smell a bad finish coming. I kind of agree with some of that. I think this TakeOver feels a little rushed in places. I think the ladder match, it's quite hard to build really compelling storylines going into that just because of the number of people. But I think that's produced some great television. Definitely the triple threats have been the highlights of the last few weeks of NXT. I disagree on Lee and Cross. I think they haven't particularly, but it smells like a kind of booking themselves into a corner. But I think I'm really hopeful that they're going to make the right decision and go with the momentum on Cross and just create a real monster there. But we'll talk about more of that on the prediction stream. The Jam one, Ryan B. Jam, says, Pat McAfee wins and that's what sends Adam Cole and the UE to the main roster.
This guy gets it. Is it your birthday as well? This guy gets it.
So I think, Pat McAfee wins this match with Cole and then somehow ends up in the ladder match. He's the new North American champion by the end of the show. And also, let's make him the tag champs as well. Whatever. Yeah. Pat McAfee's the future.
Please don't spoil. We're live, mate. I don't know if you've noticed it, but we are live on Wrestle. We never get to go live on Wrestle Talk, and we never will again if you gum up the whole thing with your relentless negativity.
I've said is that fine. Kevin says, yes, NXT going live. Screw AEW.
Yeah.
Yes. Screw those guys and they're hanging out in our live chat. I hope they're not here. Hey, and they're rubbish action figures that have sold out everywhere. They're brilliant wrestling. I hate them. Stupid. Stupid AEW.
That's Tony, not please real send us wrestling. More money.
And we'll do one more just before we go on with the rest of the show. Dex Baker says, I completely planned to watch NXT last night, but AEW aired the first half of All Out on YouTube and I lost track of time.
Oh, you little scamps.
Oh, you meanie. They've been out there doing that. Johnny Gargano almost paralyzed himself for you to watch All Out on YouTube. You can watch that any old time. AEW's here, apparently.
AEW is here.
Hi, AEW. I take it all back.
Luke, we're so sorry. We're so sorry, Luke. Luke, what have we done?
I was just coming in to see if you'd noticed that they were there.
No idea.
Market difference from when Ollie saw them in the chat.
So AEW, we want to just roll this back. Where?
I was just coming in. I was like, oh man, they just said that AEW was silly. And then I was like, I wonder if they are in the chat. Oh no, there they are.
Whoa,
yeah.
Whoa, guys, come on. Look, that was Laurie. Laurie said that. All right.
Laurie is the negative one. Laurie was winding up people. That's all he's doing.
I think Elite Wrestling.
Go on, Adam. What did you want to say?
Get down on your knees, Adam.
I'm not bought and paid for. I'm an unbiased commentator. Oh, Jesus, wept. Yeah, let's cut the feed. Let's just get out of here, quick. Yeah.
Anyway, good work, lads. Keep up.
Thanks for joining, Luke.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Cheers.
Anyway, let's crack on talking about NXT, the superior product. Dakota Kai versus Jessie Camilla came next. Dakota basically steamrolled Camilla for most of the match. Jessie got a little bit of offense in. She hit a sort of rolling kick, a jumping forearm in the corner, then a big sliding kick.
Why are you still doing tackle. This, Laurie?
What do you mean, why am I still doing it? We've not ruined anything.
We ruined it. AEW hates us now.
They don't hate us. It's
AEW,
fine.
We're sorry. I think you do really good wrestling. Oh, lads, says Luke. I'm really sorry. Oh, dear. AEW, if you're watching this, do you accept Laurie's apology? If not, what would you like Laurie to do for you to accept his apology? And we'll get the negotiations going.
Anyway, NXT, the show we're talking about, Dakota Kai basically steamrolled Jessie Camilla in a very short match. She then got on the mic and she said, "Io, you must be out of your mind. You think basically I'm going to be afraid of you." You said, "You're so focused on talking about people from my past, like Shayna Baszler," where she said that she just imagines Dakota as the girl who was scared of Shayna Baszler and now is going to come out of TakeOver being the girl who's scared of her. She said, "You're so focused on people of my past, but I'm focused on the future. It's going to feel so good when I kick you in the face over and over and over and over." And then Io's music hit and she runs down to the ring and attacks. This big brawl happens. They get to the outside. And then there's sort of another bit of magic in NXT. And Raquel Gonzalez reveals herself from behind a curtain and kicks Io's head off. Well. She took that bump like around. A hero. That was amazing.
Yeah, it's really nice to see Raquel Gonzalez back. I genuinely thought that they'd separated her from Dakota Kai, and I thought, no, that's way too early. Raquel, like, having her around is what kind of would make the presentation of Kai in this TakeOver match exciting. So, yeah, it's really great. I'm really glad to kind of see them back together with the kind of the heartbreak kick and Sheasel dynamic going on. And, for me, that's what makes this match kind of, it just ups my anticipation level. I still think Shirai's going to win. But I think this is really, 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 really going to be a fun dynamic to play with.
I think they're a great pairing anyway. Like, even without the addition of Gonzalez, I think Kai and Io Shirai is a really fresh match for NXT. And I'm really excited to see that anyway. I think actually taking Gonzalez off TV for a bit and having her sort of reveal herself at the last minute to be like, oh yeah, by the way, you forgot about me. Just added to the story so brilliantly here. And I think they really played it up well on commentary to be like, oh yeah, Dakota Kai's been saying she's going to do it all on her own. And lo and behold, here's Raquel Gonzalez to kick Io's head off just before we head into TakeOver. This is great. And I think it's another really brilliant bit of booking by NXT to a match where it kind of feels like a foregone conclusion that Shirai is going to retain here. this was just the thing it needed to really put that in doubt and just give you that little bit of, like, you know, when I was making my predictions on the form earlier, and we'll obviously discuss on the predictions stream after this, I did waver before I made my final decision because I really did feel quite torn now that I do feel it could go either way. We then had Tegan interviewed backstage talking about Candice LeRae and saying that they've obviously had a lovely friendship, but it's gone a bit sour. Friendships have their ups and downs, she was saying, but she's ready to talk and sort out their friendship, which they could do over a glass of wine. This is women's booking I'm not into in NXT, where it's just about being friends with people and people like Tegan Nox seemingly ignoring everything that's gone on recently to say, yeah, no, I'm just going to have a normal conversation with her. It's like you've been beating each other up week on week.
Yeah, is Tegan being gaslit? Why does she actually convinced that she's the problem? She's like, well, look, I'm pretty sure I'm in the right, but everyone seems to say that I'm ruining friendships, so I'm up for fixing it. It's like, what? Yeah, a bunch of heels have said that you've ruined their relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's very much a kind of like, we don't have a story here. We want you two to fight because you're both good wrestlers. What general story elements are in the ether? There you go with that. You were friends, you've ruined the friendship, just play with that. It's, you know, it is what it is. It's not, you know, it's not going to be on TakeOver, is it? It's just going to be
following week match for NXT, like
spinning Candice's sort of wheels until she's ready for IO for EO.
Such a shame. Who knew that this was going to happen when they made her friends with everyone, that all of her feuds coming out of that would be about those friendships. I'm disappointed in this kind of booking for Candice and for Tegan, even, because I think it makes Tegan look a bit silly to be like, no, it's best we have a conversation about this. It's like, you've been beating seven bells out of each other recently in various tag matches and stuff. So, like, I think you're past the point of sitting down and talking about it and even trying to salvage the friendship. Like, I don't think anything Candice has done has given you a glimmer of hope that there might be some sort of potential humanity left in her to reach out to and appeal to. And that's probably because it's not in the main sort of the upper card of NXT's women's division. So it is just a series of matches. But yeah, it feels a bit silly to book it this way. It feels like business as usual for Candice LeRae, who is the rent-a-friend of the NXT women's division.
The thing is, like, I don't know why Tegan wants to be friends with Candice. It's just like, what are you going to do? Go around to her and her weird husband's, you know, house.
Ladders everywhere, Adam. They've all been used.
One of their weird dinners where they just turn away. You know, you're chatting about the weather and then they suddenly turn to the camera and cut a vicious promo on the sunny day that's happening out.
Addressing a cup that they've had framed in the centre of the table.
I wouldn't want the Garganos over for games.
No, it's
smells like... They'd be really competitive and weird about it. They bring wine and then drink half of it, but take the half that they didn't drink home with them. That's what the Garganos are like as house guests. I wouldn't have thought so.
We then got another Finn Balor promo in which he talked about facing the dream later in the show and did one of his classic sign-offs, because he said the outcome, same as always, Finn over, which is funny because it's a play on what Velveteen Dream normally says. Yes. But also a sort of back behind the curtain comment.
Ooh, a little...
It's about the business, man. It's about the business. Still, as ever, really good work from Finn Balor. This is great. I think his character is brilliant on NXT. I really like his presentation. I do think he's doing some of his best work as heel Finn Balor. We then got Legado del Fantasma versus Breezango and Isaiah Swerve Scott. This was a cracking little match. I think the team of Legado del Fantasma, the more I see them, the more I like them. They are really gelling and I think even as a trio, like I think you kind of get that, you get a feeling with a lot of factions where there's kind of the boss of the faction, the tag team, that the tag team are going to be a bit sort of useless in a lot of situations and the boss isn't really going to get involved, just stand around on the outside sort of G'ing people up. I like the fact that everyone kind of gets their hands dirty, but ultimately Escobar is kind of kept back to be special. I also think it's great that it's a group of heels who are all luchadors and still do lucha stuff. And that plays into the heel aspect of their character rather than just being like, well, you know, we've switched from baby faces to heels, so we shouldn't jump off stuff anymore or do anything risky because that pops the crowd and makes them interested in you. They've just gone full in on like, no, it's about preserving the tradition of Lucha Libre. I think it's a brilliant bit of character work from them and worked really nicely in this match. I think the main sort of, the main point of this match was that they beat up a lot of, they really sort of triple teamed Fandango for ages. And then this kind of goofy, there was a sort of a goofy moment towards the end where Escobar had Swerve wrapped around from behind. And I think it was Mendoza did a springboard drop kick. It might be Wild. Does this big springboard drop kick hits. But as that happens, Escobar turns around and sort of takes the drop kick himself in the back, which pushes Swerve into his own corner where he accidentally tags in Breeze. Swerve then comes back out of the corner using all that momentum he's built up. He hits his finisher onto Escobar and gets the pin, but the referee has to be like, whoa, you're not the legal man. And he's like, what?
Oh, I like this.
I do like it. I do like it. And he's like, it would have worked really well in front of a crowd, I think, like a proper, like, you know, a regular audience, because they would have been screaming at this point. I think the wrestlers were just sort of doing their usual, let's make as much noise as possible to create atmosphere. This then led into, as he's sort of getting this pinfall and he doesn't quite get it, you get
that's
Wild.
Being the crowd. Yeah. It's the, what am I, Laurie? I'm the crowd at Full Sail while a match is happening.
Please stop.
Sorry. That's really bad for anyone who's just...
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's worse for podcast listeners, I imagine. You get this moment where he gets this really close too, and Mendoza and Wild slide, and they nail him with this double drop kick, pick him up, Russian leg sweep, head kick combo. Breeze then runs in, because he's the legal man, remember? He starts to clear house of Wild and Raul, but then Escobar stuns him on the ropes from the outside, jumps in and hits the Phantom Driver, and it's all over. Legado del Fantasma maintain momentum. I don't get tired of seeing those three standing in the ring holding up the Cruiserweight Championship like, yep, we're the ones to beat. No one can get past us. And obviously, like this, you know, they really played up the technicality aspect of this victory for Phantasma. But I'm hoping that the match between Swerve and Escobar gets some good time if it does get added to TakeOver, or whether it takes place on NXT TV pretty soon, because that is going to be fire.
I think the fifth match has just been announced, actually. I just got a little message via Discord from Dan. Thanks, Dan, who says it's official. Thatcher versus Balor has been announced for TakeOver. That is the fifth match on the card, with obviously the match happening on the kickoff, the triple threat number one contenders tag match. So I think we'll be saving Swerve versus Escobar for maybe the NXT after. Maybe that's something that will be announced on TakeOver itself. I think you laid out that match really well. The one thing that you didn't mention, which I really, really liked, Breezango didn't come out with a silly entrance this time.
No.
Because you wouldn't, would you? They came out all pissed off and that. And this is why tag rules are important. This is why generally rules are important. They give you an out for babyfaces losing. They can offer you visual pins. They can give you rules for heels to take advantage of. It's very, very it has a goofiness to it, but I think it's one of the little reasons why I really like NXT. And I also really like, I think it works well with Legado del Fantasma as well, with them talking about like kind of prestige and the kind of honor of wrestling to kind of exploit a rules loophole to get out of their first loss. I think that's very, very smart.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. I want to see more of Legado del Fantasma, and they have a chance because they have actually been booked into a number one contendership match at TakeOver. I'm assuming it will be on the kickoff portion of the show. They're going up against Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch and Breezango for the rights to take on Imperium. obviously that's not going to be later in the show, but that might well be on the NXT following TakeOver as well, you'd have to imagine. The next segment of the show.
Oh, mate, I can't wait to talk about this.
Pat McAfee arrives. He's brought with him AJ Hawk and Darius Butler, some NFL guys. You'll have to excuse us. We don't watch NFL. We don't get it over here. We've got football, which I also don't watch. So, like, I am two sports away from even getting to watching NFL, guys. I'm imagining this is a big deal. And actually, I will go ahead and say up front that I did actually really like this segment. I thought it was really well done. I think Pat McAfee is a great talker. And I think this, he really, like, whipped... He made me cross in this segment in all the right ways. And then when Cole fires back and gets this big moment, I was like, yeah, I want to see Adam Cole kick his ass at TakeOver. I really want to see Adam Cole beat the crap out of this guy. So McAfee comes in with all the swagger, says, guess who's back? He's brought 28 years of NFL experience with him because I know you don't go anywhere without your Three Stooges. Cole then sends the ear out of the ring and invites Pat to get in. Pat says that last time he was here, Shawn Michaels was checking your body for vitals, your soulless body for vitals, saying, I outsmarted you in your own house, at your own game, at your own speciality. This was a really, really great promo. He says, like, yeah, you've given me 2 weeks to train for this match. It took me a minute and a half to knock you out with one swing of my foot. I can make $1 million in 7 different professions. Maybe I'll make $1 million in an 8th one because you and your Three Stooges and your ignorant wrestling fans at home. He's made it about the fans, importantly.
He's talking about us. That's who he's talking about. Worst feud of 2020.
I know. Jesus. Hey, it's a title. And he says, I'm above you as a human. I'm above you as an athlete. Boom. And then chucks the mic straight at Adam Cole. And it just sort of pings through his legs.
Almost clatters Kyle O'Reilly in the face.
Yeah. This was a really hot little promo from Pat McAfee, and like really, like, I think it's really smart to play up the idea that he kind of dicks on wrestling. Like he doesn't think it's, you know, he thinks it's easy for him to walk in the door and suddenly be, because that is the right story to tell, because that's what most people are thinking about. That's what we were thinking when we were discussing that, you know. It's not an easy transition to become a wrestler. We've seen it with the likes of Tyson Fury trying to, you know, have a match with Braun Strowman. And it's not as easy as it looks. And you do need someone probably of the caliber of Adam Cole on the other side of the ring to help you produce those really high quality matches. So this gives me some hope that the match will be good. At least the build has now become very, very good. And this moment where Cole steps forward and all the security jump in the ring and get between them, and he's, McAfee shouting, you can't get to me. And Cole just nails these four security guys in really short order, jumping knee, super kick. And he just walks up to Pat McAfee in the corner and says, you know, the Undisputed Era coming to back him up as the NFL guys get on the ropes. And he says, like, tell your guys to get in the ring. We'll mangle you. And then just gets right up in his face and says, let me tell you something, Pat. This Saturday at TakeOver, I'm going to make you my bitch.
Oh, not the B word. That's the word that wrestlers use when they're serious. When Roman Reigns really wanted to kick Baron Corbin's ass, he'd call him a bitch. No, I genuinely, this is like what, maybe the second best in-ring NXT promo of the year.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane how good Pat McAfee is on the mic. I loved it when he was just ticking off the Undisputed Era. It's like, you stupid, you mustache idiot, or something like that. Just like, it took him 10 seconds. It took me 10, like, you know, the longest reigning NXT champion, it took me 10 seconds to knock you out cold. One kick is all it took. Man. I don't know. Maybe this may be great. It may be great. Like, yeah, I want to see Adam Cole destroy Pat McAfee. Like, it's sort of like celebrity angles in WWE. Like, very often NXT do the kind of prestige version of WWE programming. You know, and it very much feels like, you know, they, you know, NXT is basically, okay, well, we've got to do a celebrity angle. We'll do the NXT version.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do a celebrity feud that's been bubbling over for 2 years. We'll get the celebrity to be the heel, because of course he's the outsider and people don't actually like celebrities in their wrestling. We'll get the most charismatic heel we can find. We'll get him to kind of sneak attack. We'll get him to rile up all of the wrestling YouTubers. I can't believe how good this promo was. Mm-hmm. I can't believe how much I'm actually looking forward to the match. It's so insane. I don't know how much it was scripted and how much was off the cuff, but Pat McAfee destroyed that promo.
Yeah, he absolutely smashed it. Like, and I think, you know, I will say this is a marked difference from the way the feud started. I think the feud started in a bit of a juvenile, like, I'm calling you short a lot kind of way.
Absolutely.
And it's turned into something better now. Like, I think this was the sort of turning point where I understood kind of Pat McAfee's ego here is about, like, I am that premier guy. I'm here to prove to you that this is a bit of a joke, and I can do it in my sleep, and I can beat you no matter how good you think you are at this thing. And then I think making it about, like, the honor of wrestling and the fans is a great way to get people to side with Adam Cole. McAfee cut a great heel promo here. I want to see him get beat up really, really badly now. This was top quality work by both guys in the ring, and I am now more intrigued to see the match than I was. That's the last linchpin in this thing. It's like, you know, they now have to deliver a match, because a really good match, because they've just hyped it to an improbable degree for the kind of match that it is, actually. A lot rides on what they managed to do in the ring. But I think they've done kind of the perfect setup for this, because they have made Pat McAfee one of the smarmiest, most annoying heels that I can remember in a while. Adam Cole has become this super baby face in this part. And I think they've done well to get over this idea that Pat McAfee is dangerous and he can end this match, like he said, in a couple of seconds with one kick. I think they've done as much as they possibly can without delivering the perfect match to make it seem like this feud is going to be really, really gangbusters. After that, we got Aaliyah and Mercedes Martinez versus Rhea Ripley and Shotzi Blackheart. This all spilled out of Mercedes and Aaliyah taking on Kayden Carter and Casey Catanzaro and taking things a bit too far in the beatdown afterwards when Shotzi and Rhea made the save. Shotzi and Rhea have matching gear, so they're mates. This was good telly, I think. There was a really good moment in this where I think Rhea, like, sort of Mercedes and Aaliyah took a long bit of this where they were working over Shotzi. Shotzi gets a hot tag to Rhea. It all kind of picks up from there. Towards the end, Rhea hits a big riptide on Aaliyah and Shotzi's climbing up to hit her big finisher senton. But Martinez cuts her off. And this causes a brawl between Ripley and Mercedes. They end up brawling onto the apron and Mercedes goes for this big boot on the apron, which is what obviously costs Rhea her match against Dakota Kai in the number one contendership for the NXT Women's Championship. Rhea dodges it because she's seen it before when it hit her in the face the first time, and she grabs her and power bombs her from the apron over the barricade. And then we get this shot where Martinez is down on the other side, out completely cold from being chucked over the barricade. And then Shotzi hits a huge senton and wins the match. I'm really hoping, because they were playing up like the idea that maybe Rhea Ripley's moved past the Robert Stone brand with this win. It's like, I hope not, because I really want to see the singles match between Martinez and Rhea Ripley. It would be stupid for this to be over, because that was fire.
You don't get out of this feud without a Mercedes Martinez Rhea Ripley match, which I am dying to see. This was a match revolved around one story beat only, one spot, which is the powerbomb onto a crash mat, which then got removed. So it looked like she got powerbombed onto the concrete. But that's a really good story beat to play up. I had hoped that we, as a result of this match, we might get Mercedes versus Rhea at TakeOver, considering the powerbomb of the concrete. Doubt that now, which is a shame, because I kind of want them to have a TakeOver match, not just an NXT television match. But I really, really want to see Mercedes Martinez versus Rhea Ripley. I think this is really, really cool. Like, I thought it would have been a perfect secondary kind of women's feud to help kind of fill out a takeover, kind of add, like, you know, the Hoss match kind of element of it, making giving the show a bit more variety. Shame it looks like we're not going to get it, but that is a cool spot. And it means that, yeah, I don't think this is kind of final retribution from Rhea Ripley. I hope this is just the beginning of what could be a properly definitive women's feud in NXT.
Yeah, and I think one of the, like, one that transcends kind of the booking for women's matches that don't revolve around the championship as well, which is what Tegan Nox and Candice LeRae are probably going to do, which is, we were friends and now we're not. This feels like a, you know, pure hatred-fueled feud between two premier athletes in a division and you know, does feel like it's got enough kind of momentum and weight behind it to not be about a championship. And that is quite rare in the women's division in NXT, just, I think, through the sheer sort of depth of talent they have in that division and, like, the way they tend to book the lower card of the women's division when it's not about the championship. So, yeah, I think this is really something really good for Rhea Ripley to do that isn't about taking a title off EO or whatever, and it doesn't feel like she's been sidetracked too badly going into this feud with Martinez, and Martinez just keeps looking better and better as well. Mm-hmm. We then got a package for Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross.
Oh, this was everything to me. That shot of the mountain inside the hourglass, and it just, like, oh, you thought you were climbing a mountain, turns out you were climbing a volcano. Everything to me. I love that. That's why I like wrestling. Stupid, wonderful, over the top mythic stuff like that. Almost swore, but didn't. Mm. Don't be
wouldn't have been the worst thing we've done on this stream, Adam, would it?
Are AEW still here? I'm scrolling through the comments and it doesn't look like they are.
Look, there was a hefty dose of sarcasm in what was being said, so it's fine.
Sorry, AEW. I really am. But no, I thought video package of the... Double down on it. You're not wrestling. You're not even close to wrestling. I'm sorry. this is my favorite video package of the year, basically, is what I was trying to say. Yeah. The America the Beautiful, super slowed down. It's just... the highlighting of the wonderful moment where Keith Lee says, you name the time, you name the place, and I'll whoop that ass. You know, getting the Dominic Dijakovic stuff, all the flair. Like, it even made the fireball spot look good. Like, that's how, like, genuinely, it's been a while since I've seen a video package that has stoked me for a fight like this one. And completely, if I didn't think that Karrion Kross was walking away with the championship before, I think he is. I think this seals it for me. Just the presentation of him.
So it was so good. Like, and I think also, like, you know, we've seen a lot of packages for kind of characters in the Kross mold, and this felt different to all of those. Like, you know, I think we've had a lot of bloody brilliant package work in NXT for the NXT championship matches recently. And this felt different to all the other ones that I've seen. And yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think that you're the man who climbs the mountain, but only realizes it's a volcano when he reaches the top. What a metaphor. Like, led to so many good bits of imagery. Like, all the hourglass stuff was just fantastic. I think Kross comes with this whole, like a lookbook of, like, these are all the things you should just put on screen to make me look like this kind of character. And I thought it was brilliant, even in the rapid cuts as we get towards this, and you've got Keith Lee winning the championship and doing all these amazing spots in WWE and all this wrestling. And as Kross was in there, you got shots of him, like, in a gi doing martial arts. You got shots of him doing kickboxing and stuff. You're like, no, this guy's legit. Like, there was just, like, some really subtle stuff they added in, like, just... these, like, fast flashes of imagery just to be like, here's a real flavor of who these two guys are. I am so hyped for this. And I think it's completely the right choice to not feature either guy on TV this week and just let this package do the talking, because you just don't need to do it anymore. I think if you came out of last week's show and tried to one-up it, you would just be probably burning people out on the hype. And this was just the right amount of, like, it's happening now. It's all set in motion. Everything is... this is where we're going. So just get on board. And well, let's see. Let's leave the story reveals for what's actually happened to Keith Lee for TakeOver. perfect. Utterly brilliant. Once again, the editing department for NXT knocks it out of the park.
It's Karrion Kross, like this promo especially, it just reminds me why, like, kind of, I think he could be kind of the biggest gimmick since Bray Wyatt, because he comes with this visual language. He comes with his own style of promo. He comes with his own kind of recurring images, which you can use, like the hourglass, the raven or the crow, whichever it is. You know, the fire now, like the smoke. Like, he comes with this kind of language. It's so like, it's such a main event gimmick. It's kind of old school, kind of like cult. It's almost kind of like the Cult of Darkness kind of stuff that Kevin Sullivan was doing way down in I think it's Georgia Championship Wrestling or Memphis. It's old school, but with that modern pyrotechnic twist. Just wonderful. If they don't put the belt on him this weekend, they're absolutely insane.
Yeah, I think he has. This is the time to not cut someone off at the legs, and hopefully NXT is a lot smarter than the main roster in making those choices, because I don't think Keith Lee would lose anything losing to Karrion Kross, because he has been booked to perfection to take the belt off Keith Lee here, and I don't think anyone would be like, oh, you lost to Karrion Kross? Keith, come on. Great stuff.
Buried, let's say that.
Yeah, exactly. Great, great stuff. I just think what a wonderful main event we're going to be treated to come Saturday. So closing the show was Finn Balor versus Velveteen Dream for the final spot in the North American title ladder match at TakeOver XXX. Please don't Google it. this was a lot of ad breaks and a pretty good match. And it got pretty confusing by the end of it. The finish of this, I really, really enjoyed. Like, Dream was playing up the kind of just obnoxious heel side of his personality. He was two-sweeting at every possible opportunity. He did a wolf howl at one point, so he's even crimping stuff from Shotzi Blackheart. And it sort of all built up to this moment where they ended up sort of, Dream did a leaping stun gun over the ropes to Balor, and then as he lands on the outside, Cameron Grimes arrives to say, I'm Cameron Grimes, I'm going to win the match, woohoo, go to the moon, go get title, on the ladder, sunshine, blah, 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 blah. He's brilliant. He's so good. He is genuinely incredible.
Can you imagine inviting him to a party, though? He'd be the worst. It's like, I'm like, genuinely not since Mojo Rawley have I seen someone who's been just like, I pretty much like your work, but you would be insufferable in real life. He's great.
But he said, like, I love the fact that he's just turned it up. Like, obviously, when he was Trevor Lee and when he first joined NXT, and he did a couple of matches at, like, Progress as NXT Trevor Lee, and was nowhere near, like, this level of character. And he's clearly just gone, oh, no, this is it now. This is what Cameron Grimes is. And it's bloody brilliant, because there's a moment he comes out and he's like, gets in their face, and it goes to an ad break, and it comes back, and he sat atop the ladder holding the North American title.
Like a just, little leprechaun.
Just coming down. It's just ace. And so, but yeah, basically the point is that he's doing that. They end up brawling to the outside, Dream and Balor. Balor sort of starts stomping on Dream, holding the ladder. Grimes kind of climbs, Balor then climbs up the ladder and gets in Grimes' face for a bit, gets chucked off the ladder onto the apron. Johnny Gargano then runs down and pushes the ladder over when they get back into the ring. And Grimes flies off the top of the ladder, takes out the referee, and then stands up in the middle of the ring between Dream and Balor, who double team him. Then Balor hits a sling blade and a super kick while Johnny hangs back outside. Bronson Reed runs down to the ring, and then Gargano runs off into the ring, and he's sort of backing up from Bronson Reed, but backs up into Priest and does the whole... he's behind me, isn't he, moment. And Johnny gets nailed by the two of them. Priest then, like, picks up the title, and he's holding the title up in Bronson's face, and he chucks the title to Bronson, kicks him in the head. And it just all breaks down from there. They end up outside. Balor flies out of the ring, knocking everyone down with his wicked tope. And that's when Timothy Thatcher runs in and just nails Balor.
Why not? Everyone in the pool.
Yeah, why not? Let's all jump in. Dream hits a purple Rainmaker. 1, 2, 3, because the referee wakes up at that exact moment. and Dream is advancing to the North American Championship ladder match. Obviously, they've said, WWE have come out and said they've investigated the allegations and found that it's fine to feature Velveteen Dream. Obviously, that's not for us to say whether that's okay or not, or whether that's a proper investigation. I think all you can ever do is make up your own decisions about what's being presented to you on TV. I felt a bit uncomfortable watching the match. I found myself not being able to get into it quite as much, and I'll probably find the same thing when I watch the ladder match on the weekend. It all feels a little bit too complicated at the moment to really get that level of escapism that I'm looking for when I'm watching wrestling and just trying to buy into characters and a storyline that's being presented to me. The follow-up to the match is that Gargano slides in, nails Dream with a super kick. Grimes comes in, nails Johnny with a kick. Priest runs in and nails Grimes with a choke slam. Bronson then just nails everyone, picks up the belt, and the episode goes off air with Bronson Reed in the center of the ring holding the North American Championship and doing his claw thing with the other.
Kalima.
Kaiju, or whatever I am.
Like, I think, yeah, it's messy, but it's fun. Like, generally speaking, like, whenever there's a big multi-man match, you do this. Whenever there's a rumble coming up, or whether there's a multi-man ladder match, it's everyone get in the ring, remind everyone of why you're here, and then let's have the one person holding up the belt at the end, and they're the one that's definitely not going to win. So, sorry, Bronson Reed, you're
out of the running, my friend.
I thought, if they hadn't pre-taped this last week, I would probably bet that Finn Balor would have won the match, because obviously they taped both matches back to back. I don't think they were necessarily expecting some of the backlash or the amount maybe of the backlash they've got. Triple H has gone on in interviews to say it's time to move on. We would like not to talk about this anymore. Well, I guess I imagine you would like us to move on. Like you said, all we can talk about is the viewing experience we have watching NXT. That's what we are as a show. We review the viewing experience. I kind of wish that Balor had won. I wish that instead of Balor versus Thatcher, we were getting Balor in that match and Mercedes versus Rhea Ripley on the card. It is what it is. I like the ending. I thought it was very silly. I thought it was everyone got their little moment. I thought generally like a very, very strong, in terms of like a go-home episode, touched every single feud, had some really cool brawls, had some amazing hype, some people, you know, some surprise returns. Like what an episode of NXT. I really dug it. And yeah, the uncomfortability of them kind of doubling down on Dream to one side, I thought it was an almost complete success as a show. Can't wait for Takeover.
Oh, yeah.
It's a takeover, but it's a built takeover. NXT, they made some odd decisions, but they've been methodical in the way that they book. They always are. And I think that every single match on the card, except maybe Balor and Thatcher, but then that's just going to be fun to watch.
That's just a thing. You just want to see Finn Balor on a takeover. Like you don't bring Finn Balor down to NXT and then not put him on takeover. That seems like a hell of a waste. I completely agree with you. I think every single match, like all the big championship matches here that are happening on takeover, feel like they were very well built here. The reveal of Gonzalez kicking Io Shirai's head off, like what a memorable moment. There's just snapshots from this episode that I'm just like, going into takeover, you're just going to be sort of a lasting imprint. And yeah, one is the boot print of Raquel Gonzalez on Io's face. The other one is that package about Keith Lee and Karrion Kross. And then that brawl to end the qualifying match for the North American Championship ladder match was so much fun. Like that, I think the moment where it just went round at the finish and everyone just hit finishes on each other was just really, really fun wrestling, and you're just reminded like, oh yeah, he's great. And I am now very torn as to who will be in that match. Let's whiz through some super chats. So Bacon Rasher says, just wondering what your thoughts are on Kai and Big Mama Cool. Does Sean have a hand in the story? I like it and hope Kai wins. Also, hashtag WrestleLuke Forever and JTJ. What do you think of Kai and Gonzalez?
I mean, knowing that Shawn Michaels is as frequently backstage in NXT as he is, it's Shawn Michaels and Diesel. And it's, you know, that's tried and tested. Kai is definitely talented enough to kind of handle her end of the bargain. Raquel Gonzalez is untested.
Big enough.
Yes. Well, there you
go. She's big enough, yeah.
She's tall, which is fine enough. I think it's a really good dynamic. And again, NXT have done too good a job of portraying Dakota Kai as kind of a chicken heel who's not on the same level as Io Shirai. So not having Raquel at ringside lessens the anticipation for the match because, yeah, it's just like no part of the presentation of Kai said, oh, she's worthy of being, you know, she can't handle her own, which is, you know, that's her current interpretation of her character. Fine. But with Raquel, she's a full package and is now a legitimate threat.
Yeah, I think they did such good work on this episode too. I think the reveal of Gonzalez there was, you know, stage magic-y. I liked it. Like the big, like, what's behind the curtain? It's Raquel Gonzalez to kick your face in. But works perfectly. And I think they did wonders building this feud with the delusion of Dakota Kai going forward and saying, I'm going to do this all on my own. And then the last minute Machiavellian reveal of my massive equalizer. Michael Carter says, hashtag pat that pat. Hashtag annoyingly winning me over, Pat McAfee. Just Simon 419 says that Cross Lee package was ridiculously great. Also, hi guys, hi Hello. Yourself, Simon. Will Ware says, do you think Cross should squash Lee at Takeover to really cement Cross as the guy to everyone? I honestly don't know, and it's an idea I saw floating around.
No,
I don't think so. Because there's a
fine line. Because Keith Lee is the man, and I think Keith Lee has a huge upside. Killer Cross is also the man, but Killer Cross, Killer Cross squashed Tommaso Ciampa. That was his sort of debut, like his kind of coming out party. This is where I think Killer Cross needs to cement himself as like a main event talent that not only is like a huge threat, but also someone you can build huge marquee matches around. Because I think that's part of the hype package of a main eventer is you, especially in today's wrestling scene, is, yeah, they've got to be exciting as like a kind of like what's going to happen. But you need to trust that they can hold up their end of like a 15 to 20 minute main event. And that's exactly what I think we should get here.
Pure domination only runs you so far with these characters before you're like, how could we possibly beat them? Look at people like The Fiend who were presented so well early on. And then as soon as it was the even the thought of them losing came up, people really rallied against it. So I think this needs to be very close. One to cement, one to just be like, if this is Keith Lee's final match with the NXT Championship, it needs to be a barnstormer. And two, I think that will do more for Karrion Kross than squashing Keith Lee, because then you can have Karrion Kross, who finally eked out a victory over Keith Lee, destroy everyone else. Ciampa comes back and you build up Ciampa over a very slow period of time to be like, you've got to face the monster again, Ciampa. If you want Goldie back, remember you want Goldie, got to face that monster that killed you that time. Got to go do it. And then when Ciampa wins, it's one of the biggest babyface wins in NXT history. So moving on from stuff that's related to NXT to just general WrestleTalk related stuff. Detrain24 says, happy birthday to my favorite YouTube personality. For personal reasons, your comeback has really helped me deal with some of my demons. Hashtag JTJ.
Oh, Jam.
You can only assume he's talking about Chopper there.
Happy birthday, Pete.
The Jam one, Ryan B. Jam, says, happy birthday, British Justin Bieber.
God damn it.
Michael Dominguez says, I'd like to wish you an unhappy birthday.
Okay. Up yours too, Michael. I'm going to have a great birthday. I've got my grill. What have you got? Nothing. You've got nothing, Michael.
No one knows about the grill because that's in the podcast bit that we recorded earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So, Adam, just in case you need to know, Adam's getting a George Foreman grill for his birthday.
I've got such an exciting birthday.
The only thing sadder than getting a George Foreman grill for your birthday is it not being a surprise. Will Ware says, we need to have Adam and Laurie go live every week now. Also, hope Adam is enjoying his last days with his hair before Quizlemania X7. Hashtag FDF. Hashtag shave Adam.
Excuse me. I think you'll find that we had in forced fun the other day where wonderful Tempest, who has been on Quizomania, did a massive quiz for all of the people working at WrestleTalk. It was absolutely wonderful. And I won that quiz by half a point, narrowly beating Luke Owen, who is, you know, obviously one of the greatest Quizomania champions of all time. So I think my hair is not going anywhere. It's staying exactly where it is. I have the most beautiful head of hair in WrestleTalk, which is a low bar to clear, but I've cleared it. And it's not going.
Yeah, anywhere. You've got the most beautiful top half of your head full of hair.
All right, you're right. Pete's got the best beard. He absolutely does.
And it's his birthday. The only important birthday. Mike D says, happy early birthday, Adam. Good luck on the next Quizomania. Hopefully you won't be bald like Sonya probably will after SummerSlam. Jam that jam.
Jam that jam.
Mark Hager says, just a reminder to all you Sean Ross Sapiens to F that F.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have thought so.
And then also, Alos says, hashtag FTF, the end is nigh. Love you guys. Hearing you talk helps me cope with loneliness.
Oh, thank you. We're really glad to help. Although you did use hashtag FTF, which is a shame, but we forgive you this one time.
El Fermentado says, Feliz, I don't know how to say this, but it's happy birthday. Adam, hashtag JTJ, greetings from Chile.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I just didn't want to butcher another language. Zakik on Linda says, hashtag FTF, feed that ferret.
Oh, weird.
Mm. Sean Turner super chatted in but hasn't left a message. Thank you very much for your donation. Last minute super chats that have just come in. Mr. Hank Tastic says, what if McAfee becomes the jobber Lesnar?
I love this idea.
Arrive, talk his way into a big match, get destroyed, repeat. If he keeps his promos amazing, I could see him getting over as a face and people wanting to actually see him win.
So what is he like Ziggler with at that match with Goldberg at SummerSlam? He just keeps coming. He just keeps, like, everyone beats him, and he's like comes in just like with his NFL, like an increasingly large entourage of NFL guys. Just keep picking fights. He's got no hope
until he's got a whole match going on. Marcus Gamer didn't leave a message, but super chatted in, so thank you very much. And Rob H says, I think NXT is getting much better and is recovering the momentum they previously had. Strong takeover with multiple directions afterwards. I agree that I think they've really done well to build a very good takeover card for what feels like it should be a... This feels like a real celebration takeover to have. It's a momentous milestone for the brand, and they have done a fantastic job of building all these feuds, even Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee.
Especially.
You know, actually, to be fair, they've actually outdone themselves there. Because Adam has a very bold prediction, I believe, for the premier match of this takeover card, the match that everybody wants to see, the match that they are putting on this show for. This is one of the biggest milestones in NXT history. This is the 30th takeover they've ever done. So they needed a match that really reflected the level of time and effort they put into building new stars and new talent over all the years that NXT has been running. They needed some of the biggest names they've ever made to take part in a match. So that is why Adam Cole is taking on Pat McAfee. Mr. Patrick McAfee.
Yes.
Who do you think is going to win, Adam, out of Adam Cole, longest reigning NXT champion ever, and... as I'm reliably informed, NFL footballer, podcaster, television personality.
Huntsman.
Huntsman, yes.
Hang on.
Snow White and the Huntsman, Pat McAfee.
Hang on, I'm not sure if this is... this take is hot enough. I think Pat McAfee is going to be Adam Cole, baby. Do you know why I think he's going to defeat Pat McAfee? Cool, why Pat McAfee is going to beat him? Because I think
you hate yourself and me and everyone else in the wrestling community.
I don't like fun. No, I think Pat McAfee is going to win. I think everyone's going to be really, really cross. And I think this is going to be the galvanizing sort of lightning strike behind a Kyle O'Reilly heel turn.
Oh, you think? You think Kyle O'Reilly is going to turn on the Undisputed Era?
Yes.
Wow.
I think Kyle O'Reilly is amazing. I think anyone who's seen Kyle O'Reilly on the indies in Ring of Honor, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, knows that he's not just the funniest member of the Undisputed Era. He is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He's unbelievable. You can keep your Undisputed Era merch. You can definitely keep your Adam Bebe merch. Build Kyle O'Reilly as your big, as the Seth Rollins
you sound like Pat McAfee now, don't you?
I can't help but cut fire promos. I think I do this with predictions, but I build a little story for myself and I fixate on it, and I've also got another little one for later on in the show. Ooh. But I think that Pat McAfee is going to have his ass handed to him, but at the last moment, Kyle O'Reilly is going to cost. Because Kyle O'Reilly came back and he was just like, we are the Undisputed Era. You're Adam Cole. You're blah, blah, blah. You know, we are going to be tag team champions. And Adam Cole got into a thing with Pat McAfee and cost Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish the tag belts. Kyle O'Reilly had, I spent the entire time looking at Kyle O'Reilly's face. Kyle O'Reilly is pissed off. He's done, and he has been for the entire like last few episodes. He's got this kind of new horrible look of the kind of the thick beard with the no tash. I think it's time to cut him loose and create a megastar heel in Kyle O'Reilly. And I think the best way to do that would be to create something that genuinely no one wants to see, which is Pat McAfee pinning Adam Cole. No, I don't want it either, but that's the point. That's the point of heel heat. It's got to be something you don't want. And I think Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole is the last great feud of Adam Cole's time in NXT. I think Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole on a takeover, take my money, and I think it starts on Saturday.
So I'm going for Adam Cole because I think this is the lunge towards babyface for Adam Cole, that they're trying to sort of repackage the Undisputed Era on the more face end of the spectrum. I think Pat McAfee actually this week did a really fantastic job of making me hate him, but for being a character and for doing a really fire promo. And you know, like I really was like quite down on this feud before this, and then they made it about wrestling, and Pat McAfee really made it about like Adam Cole is actually now fighting for the honor of wrestling, and you know, craft and putting in your time and paying your dues. And Pat McAfee has walked into like a really big match with one of the best performers that NXT has ever had on one of the biggest shows that they've ever done. And then also had that sort of the gumption to insult the marks at home for watching, being ignorant and watching WWE. So yeah, I really think this is about Adam Cole fighting for all of our honor. And in that case, I want to see Adam Cole pitting Pat McAfee. And I think Pat McAfee is a great foil for that because he has done wonderful work making himself sort of the belittling force here and making wrestling seem small. And you just want to see wrestling conquer Pat McAfee to really cement Adam Cole as the premier babyface in NXT.
I think you're probably right. I think that it kind of makes sense that would happen. But I the way I look at it is, and it's probably, again, I'm thinking myself out of this. I should just go with what WWE are likely to do. But it's NXT, damn it. A bit more thought goes into it. Think about what you get out of this match. If Adam Cole wins, you've had a fun little two-week feud to build up a celebrity match in which Adam Cole gets a bit of revenge. If Adam Cole loses, it'd be pandemonium because you've had the longest reigning NXT superstar of all time beaten by a celebrity. And if either Kyle O'Reilly or maybe even the entire Undisputed Era turn on him, do a Bullet Club, kick him out, And yeah, Kyle becomes the new leader of the Bullet Club, of the Kicky Bullet Club.
The Under Stupid era.
The Under Stupid era. I want t-shirt rights for that. But I think you get much more out of it, weirdly, if Pat McAfee wins. And I'm sorry.
No, I think that's a good long-term booking, but I think NXT has been quite obsessed with short-term pops recently, and this feels like a short-term pop. The pre-show match, well, I'm assuming it's a pre-show match, is Breezango versus Legado del Fantasma versus Lorcan and Birch, which is a number one contendership for the tag team titles. Now, I'm really torn here because I could see, like, you've got Imperium, the heel champions, and you've got Lorcan and Birch, who I think would make a good foil for them and would put on a really good match. You've also got Breezango as a babyface team to go up against them. But I just think go with momentum. Let's have Legado win here and let's forget who's heel and who's face in the Imperium match, and let's just have two wicked sweet factions knock seven bells out of each other for our amusement on the NXT after TakeOver. That's a match I really want to see. Legado del Fantasma have been taking up a lot of TV time recently. This is the booking that makes sense to me. So I'm going Legado del Fantasma because also I think it's the freshest match of the lot. Like I would love to see Mendoza and Wild get a bit of TV time separate to just backing up Escobar and having something to do. And I could also see them with the belts. Him as the cruiserweight champ and then with the gold. Oh, I'd like it. Give it to me. Who have you got?
I've got Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. This was the match that was, I think, supposed to happen. Like for a long time, NXT were kind of booking that way. They did that promo of Lorcan and Burch in the pub talking about Imperium. Then they had a little kind of showdown. Then they had the number one contenders triple threat, which Lorcan and Burch lost. Breezango won it. I think again, it feels too early to take the belts off Imperium, and mm-hmm. So I think who is the best team in NXT to put on an amazing match and lose with honor and glory? It's only Lurkin and Danny Burch. I think it's a bit too early because, like, you don't want Legado to lose to Imperium, and you don't particularly want Imperium to lose to Legado as well. So I think Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch pin Breezango to win. I don't think Legado get involved in the pin.
My only reasoning behind that is just because Imperium was such a panic pick anyway, because they obviously had Riddle and Dunn had to separate, and then you had Thatcher, and you were really building a Riddle and the Thatcher storyline. So they were just like, well, Imperium, a safe pair of hands, take the belts off them. That's fine. Do that. And yeah, they just haven't been featured and they don't really have a story. So I think I'd go where the story is, and Legado del Fantasma really feels like the story in NXT right now of these three teams. Up next is a match that was made like 20 minutes ago. This was made official. It's Finn Balor versus Timothy Thatcher. Things I didn't know I wanted until they were offered to me. Yes, please. Mother, can I have some more? Because this all spilled out of the North American Championship qualifying match from last night, in which Finn Balor took on Velveteen Dream. Balor got jumped by Thatcher towards the end of the match, which was part of the sort of steamrolling of Dream into the victory. This match has now been made. This is your obligatory Finn Balor does a match on a takeover. I am torn. Who are you going to go for, Adam Blompier?
Big Bally Balor. I think, yeah, Finn's so good and he's absolutely killing it. And yeah, I think he's sort of got this kind of overperforming on takeover kind of hot streak going. I think he will get his revenge on Thatcher. It does feel like a sort of hastily put together match. It could go either way, which is just a testament to how great Thatcher's been of recent weeks with his Thatcher's Thatch can. But I've got Finn.
Yeah, I also have Finn. I think he is kind of on the momentum train. I think you want Finn in the picture to... I think you could really use Finn to be one of the next contenders for the NXT Championship, but maybe in a losing effort to just really cement whoever you pick as that guy. If Finn Balor's coming after him, that feels like a big money feud, and you don't necessarily have to have Finn Balor win. I think he can kind of maintain, he's kind of bulletproof at the moment. So I think he's exactly, I was going to do it. And then I was like, that's probably too cheesy, but you went there. And then Finn,
lower denominator, baby.
Yeah, so I don't think Timothy's going to be stretching Finn out for the count. So yeah, I could see it going either way. Oh, I'm so torn. I'm sticking with Finn. Right, this is the one that I think is probably the hardest to pick because there are more entrants. This is the North American title ladder match. This is Damian Priest versus Cameron Grimes versus Johnny Gargano versus Big Boy Bronson Reed versus the Velveteen Dream. Now, in my initial decision for this, when I didn't know who the last entrant was, I had Finn Balor picked. I was like, I think they're going to do something funky at the top. So I want the American title on a really safe pair of hands in the middle to be like, there's a legit draw as a champion. Someone I was going to say Finn Balor. Then Finn Balor didn't win that match to get in this thing. And so Velveteen Dream is kind of the person taking that as a tenured NXT talent. Considering what happened with Velveteen Dream and the backlash to him reappearing last week on NXT, I don't think that's the direction they're going to go in. I think for Johnny Gargano to win the North American title again, it's a bit of a step down. I really do feel like the direction for his character is to go for the NXT championship while Candice goes for the women's championship. That's the story I want to see. So I'm actually going for Damian Priest as the winner of this. I think he's been in NXT for he's been there quite a long time without really achieving very much. He's had a really good babyface run recently, he had that sort of babyface turn in the match with Balor, and I think that he really sort of like got so much out of that at TakeOver in Your House. And I do think he feels like he's on the ascent. Like Bronson Reed ended this week's NXT holding the championship, but as that is normally the sign of like, that's the one who won't win it, last one to hold it. Sorry, you don't want to, like, it's a game of hot potato. You don't want to be the last person holding it. So I do think Priest is the right choice here because I think he's got that kind of presence to be the North American champion. And he really gives that division like a figurehead that does seem like quite insurmountable. So he's someone to really strive against. So that's my pick. Who are you going to go for?
So I was going to pick Priest because I think you're right. Everything you've said is very, very smart, Laurie. You are probably in Wrestle Talk up there with Ollie as being the smartest predictor in the office.
Ollie picked MVP.
I know.
Three times.
I was joshing. No, I think you generally can fairly be relied upon. You and Luke I think you try and get inside WWE's head when you book. And I think for that reason, I think it probably will be Priest. But for some reason, I don't know why, I am fixated. I can't shake the idea that it's Grime time.
Cameron Grime.
He's going to take the North American Championship to the moon. Up until you asking me, I was going to be like, I'm just going to say Priest, because that's probably what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But sort of, I am ahead of Ollie Davis in the predictions. I don't care about winning. It's not about that. It's about having fun. So I'm going to have
winning.
I'm going to have some fun. As long as
that's what losers say. It's not about winning.
You show me a good loser and I'll show you.
They don't give out a medal for second and third place, Adam.
Yes, they do. It's the Olympics. What are you talking about?
They don't in this competition, Adam. Because we don't have the budget to get two more trophies.
I sod it, right? Let's go big, go home, go to the moon, Cameron Grimes.
Do you know what? I can see it.
I think he provides a different kind of champion. I think Priest will be like your fighting babyface champion. Sure, fine. Like, Damian Priest could do with something to properly legitimize his babyface turn, which is why I think they are going to go with Priest. But I think Cameron Grimes will be such a slippery little bastard of a champion. Killer Cross will be just like monster heel on top of the promotion. Whereas Cameron Grimes can just be like this little weasel, just kind of like scurrying away. But he's also so good. Mm-hmm. Like, he can have proper takeover quality matches. And he hasn't really had a chance to, which is weird. Like, he's been on a losing end a lot and hasn't really gotten the chance to do, like, takeover stuff. And I think, yeah, let's make a star with Cameron Grimes. Let's do it. Grime time.
You know what? Like, if my vote was to be bought, then you've almost bought it, because I can see in that logic of like WWE do love a swerve, and if I was going to swerve anyone, Cameron Grimes is my pick, because he is a man who has been bedunked on by just about everyone. There was a big moment in that finale brawl, like, you know, where he comes out and he's all annoying and he gets pushed in the ring and he gets his comeuppance from like four different people and doesn't actually really get off any proper offense against anyone in the massive brawl at the end. And yeah, Cameron Grimes then walking out being like, hoo-wee, I won the title. Look at me.
I'm going to go to Jolly World.
Yes. I can see it. Like, I really can. But I am sticking with Priest and hopefully sticking where the points are. So last two matches, we have Io Shirai versus Dakota Kai for the NXT Women's Championship. I felt like this was a very foregone conclusion. This was going to be an Io Shirai regression. It feels a bit early to take the belt off her, especially after they took the belt off Rhea so quickly and they took the belt off Charlotte so quickly. You don't want the women's championship just be hot-shotted around the company until they find someone that, like, that's the right person to hold it for a long time, or just for the sake of like a cheap pop on a takeover. However, the inclusion of Raquel Gonzalez at least alludes to this being a closer fought competition than I initially thought it was going to be. Mm. And I think it will definitely be a win for EO, but it's going to come at some sort of cost. So I'm excited to see where they go with this, because I definitely think they could get a good little feud out of this between Kai and Io Shirai, and hopefully they don't just move them on to the next people, because I do think the tag team, the team of Kai and Gonzalez will pay dividends at some point and is money. Like, it's a great little pairing. She's such an annoying, weaselly little heel. But like you said, she's got all those delusions of like, I've done it on my own. Do not look to my right where there is a towering figure of a woman who's just kicked your head off, but I've done it on my own. I do think I think Dakota Kai deserves to be in this position. Like, she's worked really bloody hard to be there. And she's been really great on NXT TV. And she's done so much hard work to put other people over as monsters and heels and champions. And, you know, all that stuff she did with Shayna Baszler, where she kept getting her arms stomped on. Yeah, she's worked her ass off to be there. And I'm just really excited for the match. But, yeah, I do think Ia's going to win.
Yeah, I think it's not. Oh, it's like one more takeover's time if this was happening. I could really see them putting on Kai and having her kind of henchwoman be like the difference maker, really build up that relationship over the course of a title reign, maybe having to break up. Maybe you got this like MJF Wardlow thing going on. I think it's going to be EO, mostly because I'm in love with the idea of Candice taking it off EO and them doing a kind of like Johnny being the heater to Candice, basically.
I'd love that.
I'd love that too. And I kind of haven't let go of that idea yet. So that's primarily why I'm sticking with EO. I think Dakota's brilliant. And I think hopefully this match will just basically cement Dakota Kai as a main eventer in NXT. And then maybe down the line, who knows? But yeah, oh, it could be the right time for her. I don't know. Mm. She's so great. And I think, yeah, the HBK Diesel dynamic, it works. It's proven. I am going to stick with EO just because of our main event.
Yeah. And also in my head, I'm sitting there thinking, come take over at WrestleMania weekend. The match that I want to see for the women's division to be their main event, I want to see Io Shirai versus Rhea Ripley. And that's when Rhea Ripley can take the belt off Io Shirai. And 1 year after losing the title is re-crowned as the NXT Women's Champion. And I really do think that's kind of the direction they're going to push it in, because they are keeping Rhea Ripley really hot, but just not in the NXT Championship picture. So the finale, the hard choice, so obviously this feels very soon to be doing this for Mr. Keith Lee, but Keith Lee is taking on Karrion Kross, the NXT Championship hanging in the balance, as Karrion Kross says, probably over the precipice, the gaping maw of a volcano, lava bubbling away beneath you. This is really hard to predict because I feel like my gut says that Karrion Kross has to win the way he's been booked. everything about this screams Karrion Kross is going to maul Keith Lee and walk out as the champion. It feels very soon for Keith Lee to be losing the title. But then I also, there's just that bit in my head that's just like, but I imagine the offices at NXT every week, they're getting a phone call being like, well, can we have Keith yet? Can we have Keith yet? Can we have Keith yet? What about this week? No, we're going to grind you down. So if anyone was to take the title off Keith Lee and it not damage him, Karrion Kross is the man to do it. Like there is no shame in this defeat for Keith Lee because, you know, this does just feel like one, he's on a wave of momentum that he should ride all the way to the top of Raw or SmackDown, whichever one he ends up on. And two, Karrion Kross has been booked like an unbeatable monster. So losing to that, you know, if Keith Lee lost to Cameron Grimes, then I'd be like, oh man, that sucked. Like, but Karrion Kross beating Keith Lee, I can completely get on board with. And that's why I think Karrion Kross is going to be walking out as the NXT champion. And I really, really hope they do it because it will be such a dynamic shift for the division. To have this monster on top. And I can't wait to see how they build someone to try and take that belt off him. Adam, who are you going for?
They did not feed Tommaso Ciampa to Karrion Kross to have him not win this match. Absolutely nailed on. It's not nailed on. Anything could happen in wrestling. But Karrion Kross should 100% win this match. Like you said, he's an unbeatable monster. He's really exciting. That promo of, like we mentioned it in our NXT podcast review, but yeah, you think you've been climbing to the top of the mountain and then now you're there. Do you realize it's a volcano? Absolutely beautiful. I so excited about Karrion Kross. Do it. Why not? Cowards, smash him over. Use the outrage of it's too soon to take the belts off Keith Lee. Use that outrage and just funnel it all into this horrible, cruel, vicious little monster. Not vicious, not little. Horrible, vicious, big monster. Mm. The Luke Owen kind of ultimate Digivolve monster. Get him.
I want to make that now. I'm going to make that in thingy after this.
Digivolve. But, put the belt on Karrion Kross. You should. It's a case of striking while the iron's hot. I think NXT understands that better than most people. Like, generally speaking, they too tend to go with, who the most exciting prospect is. Sometimes they go out of left field to create an exciting prospect, which I think, they did, for example, Bronson Reed. But I think in this case, all the signs are pointing to it's Karrion Kross's time.
Oh,
I can't wait for this match. Most hyped for an NXT match I've been all year.
Yeah, they've done remarkable work with this feud and the way Karrion Kross has been presented. Like, everything that they've done with Karrion Kross has built to this moment, and it has been a pitch perfect build for a character. Probably one of the most perfect builds for a character since Aleister Black, maybe. Every single move they've made here has just made him look more and more like a star. Yeah. And I think it would do, it's actually a case of it would do more damage to Karrion Kross to lose than it would do to Keith Lee to lose. About even if Keith Lee was staying in NXT, there's stories to be told there in which, Keith Lee asked for this match. Karrion Kross said, name a time and place. And he was like, well, I want this match to take over for the belt, whatever. But then Keith Lee also gave up the North American title a little bit before that because he was like, I didn't want to sign for the division. And you can tell the story if he loses the belt here. It's like, well, you also gave up the other belt just a week before you booked yourself into this match, you Burke. And Keith Lee can have this kind of existential crisis of like, man, I was a double champ and I gave one away and then I lost the other one. Like, why did I throw it all away? There's plenty to be done in NXT. But I do really think that Keith Lee is on his way up. And that is the kind of excitement that Raw and SmackDown could really, really do with someone like Keith Lee, especially as Survivor Series is coming up. And I think they want him for one of the teams that they want to win this year for Survivor Series. So, Keith Lee, I think he's done an amazing run as champion, but I am calling his time. It is Karrion Kross's moment. Go with what's right. TikTok, baby. So I've been rewatching No Holds Barred.
I don't want to talk about that, Laurie. I want to talk about my birthday.
Oh, I don't want to talk about your birthday. What are you doing? What are you doing for your birthday on Monday?
I'm not doing anything on my birthday because there's a disease on. And it's
no, is there?
I want to have people over to my place to play some board games, but I can't because of the COVIDs.
And you could do like people you care less about. Like, don't take your top tier of friends. Take your next tier down of friends. That's what I'd do. I'd be like, I don't mind what happens to you. Come around the house.
Yes,
you are a foil for my game of Smash Up or whatever it is we happen to be playing this week.
Jesus, it's proper Mask of the Red Death there, Laurie. That's probably like I've just got a yes, my birthday.
This is how I like to do. This is how I like to do birthdays, man. You know,
just come over. It's like, well, everyone's leaving with something. It's like a gift bag, but you know,
I've coughed into it. Yeah,
yeah. I'm not going to do a Zoom call thing just because I'm just done with that. They make me more tense than happy these days. So genuinely, we're just going to do nothing. We're going to do nothing. I'm going to unwrap my present from my parents, and I think it's like a George Foreman grill because I'm 33. God damn it.
Oh, but just make a, if it is a George Foreman grill, and I don't want to get your hopes up that it might be a George Foreman grill, but if it is...
I mean, I asked for one, so it probably
is. Oh, okay. Well, then I would suggest getting the bits to make a Cubanos sandwich, put on the soundtrack from Chef, and spend your afternoon buttering both sides of some bread and sticking it in your grill. That is a way to spend a birthday. That's great.
I wish Jon Favreau would spend my birthday with me. That'd be so nice. Just little happy Hogan. What I'm going to hopefully do, because it's the day after SummerSlam, it's Monday. Mm-hmm. So obviously in the morning of my birthday, I will be watching SummerSlam with some of my best friends. And you, Laurie.
I was trying to get in there ahead of you. And you didn't do it, to be fair. More fool you.
And I think what I'm hoping that I'm getting actually from my lovely partner is I have asked for miniatures painting stuff because I want to just kind of start dabbling in that. I've got a whole bunch. I'm not getting into like Warhammer or D&D because that's for dorks, but I do I've got loads of games with some really cool minis, and I'd love to be able to just add a little bit of extra kind of quality to them. So yeah, like maybe I'll start doing a little bit of that, and maybe order in a takeaway, because that is what we do. That's how you celebrate a birthday in a pandemic. Yeah, make someone drive your food to you.
Yeah, well, that's what I do twice a week maybe now.
Are you on takeaways twice a week? Damn.
We've been defrosting the freezer today, so we had to get through everything in it, and then just didn't have anything in last night, so it had to be a second takeaway of the week. I've been a busy boy. It's been too much to cook. We don't all have a George Foreman grill, my friend.
Look, I don't have it yet, Laurie.
Yeah, we don't all have a wrapped one waiting for us, do we? Tantalizingly close.
There's a big old box.
You can almost
sat in my living room.
Smell the lean, mean fat grilling that it will be doing.
Oh. I'm going to grill some halloumi. That's what I'm going to do first up. I'm going to make it like a proper nice chicken halloumi, big old, like loads of lettuce, big old sandwich. That's what I'm going to do. I can't wait. I'm in my 30s and I really feel like it. I remember when I used to ask for toys, like games, like video games for my birthday. I just buy those with my own money now.
I know,
like,
sad.
No one can buy me anything because, like, you know, they know I like board games, but they don't know which board games I like. That's, you know, they don't know what board games are good. I'm unbuyable for. I get Amazon gift vouchers and a bit of kitchen equipment that I have to ask for. It's such a depressing life.
My girlfriend was genuinely shocked when she said, "What's the best birthday present I've ever bought you?" And I was like, "This Chili's bottle." Just like, I would never have thought to buy myself a little refillable water bottle to take places with me. And as soon as I had it, I was like, this is the best thing ever. I love it so much. I've lost it 3 times and bought the exact same one without telling her multiple times, but fine. You know, we are where we are. I'm very pleased with it. Yeah, ultimately it's a birthday present that cost me a lot more than I think it cost her in the first place. But, you know, I've stayed hydrated for many a moon now. Well, I'm hoping if you have your birthday this weekend, listeners.
What do you mean, if?
Listeners.
If you get your birthday.
If you do manage to make it to your birthday, Adam, before, you know, So if you do have your birthday this weekend, listeners, I hope it's better than Adam sounds. I'll be pleased to spend SummerSlam with you there. That'd be nice.
Yeah, won't it?
As long as, you know, the Fiend wins and Braun Strowman. Otherwise, that's it. Otherwise, I'm just, you know, I'm quitting the wrestling biz. That's it. It's over for me. So we will be, you'll have the magazine show tomorrow with Luke and Denise. You'll have Saturday discussing SmackDown. And then you will have on Monday, you're going to have us discussing SummerSlam. I think it's going to be Ollie and Luke. So there's plenty of podcasts to come. And then obviously that kicks off the whole new week of wrestling stuff because, we've also got Payback following that and All Out the week after. However, you should also tune into the SummerSlam predictions because there's something quite important happening. And I think that might be what you're trying to talk about.
No, sir. Obviously, we just talked about what we thought about the go-home episode of NXT. We won't be reviewing NXT, nor will we be watching it live, just because there's enough to do over the coming week and a half, mostly my birthday. But what if you do
want she's got to... so many plans.
I'm not even eating out to help out, but... if you do want to know who we've predicted the NXT TakeOver, Laurie and I will be making our official predictions, as we're recording this, in about an hour or so's time. But head on over to WrestleTalk Clips, where you will find a recorded version of our NXT predictions. And I will be telling you exactly why I believe that my best friend, Pat McAfee, will be walking away with the big shiny W on
Pat McAfee is also the sort of best friend that Adam's going to invite to his actual birthday to play some board games. So that tells you what Adam actually thinks of Pat McAfee. Same deal, in fact, for our predictions for SummerSlam. They're over on WrestleTalk's YouTube channel. Go check them out because they are more important than ever because this is the end of Wrestle League. So whoever loses at SummerSlam will have to do a punishment. They will also roll over the predictions for SummerSlam into the beginning of next season. So whoever predicts SummerSlam the best will already be on top for the start of what I think is season 7 of Wrestle League. Join us also for the live reactions if you can, because it is the deciding vote between whether Jam That Jam remains the Wrestle Talk slogan.
Oh, God.
Or whether Sean Ross Sapp's, and I'm not going to say it because otherwise someone's going to have to beep it, hashtag FTF becomes the official slogan. You'll be able to vote during the live stream as to which one you think is going to win, and we have to stick with the winner.
We put such a lot of time and effort in getting Jam That Jam over.
We made a t-shirt. We've done it all. Like, yeah, there's been a lot of effort put into Jam That Jam, and it's all going to be F That F once Sean Ross Sapp gets his filthy way. But yeah, thank you for listening to the podcast. That is all we have for you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.